Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. If I haven't met you, I'm Gary. I'm the pastor of the Brighton Heights campus of Bridge City. And glad you made it. I pray that God ministered to you, particularly if you're one here today and you're praying for people in your family. All right. Again, that your faith is built, but your faith is in Him and not just on your own ability. Amen. Okay. Before we go forward, before we jump into the message, I just want to speak to someone. I don't know you. I've never met you. Not that I recall, right? We've never met. I just feel God wants to encourage you with something today. And that being that you are one that you want more of God. You're looking more. But since you don't quite often know, you don't trust yourself. You don't trust that you ask too many questions. And God's saying, will you just trust that what I'm putting before you is real? And believe in me. Have faith in me. You're hearing clearly. You're hearing clearly. Don't question that. So when there's an issue of faith, don't question it. He's saying, trust me. Trust me. And you're going to find your faith and your joy level is just going to elevate immediately. Amen?
Amen? Amen.
Okay. Bless God. Okay. Now, that's submitted to you. Like I said, when we do that, that's submitted to you. You judge it. Okay, maybe we'll talk after the meeting. You can tell me if I was off the wall, okay? Because that's what we judge things here, right? That's healthy prophetic ministry. It's healthy move of God in the Spirit that we judge things when they're shared, right? Amen. So now here's the thing. There are many people in this room that have that same gift. You have that same gift. But the thing is, remember, if you're not willing to take a risk, you're never going to grow in the gift, okay? And what's the risk? You could be wrong, okay? You could be wrong. But we are never not going to be a place where we just all are saying, thus saith the Lord. We submit things and allow the Holy Spirit to confirm them, amen? So I submit that to you, my friend, and we'll talk later, okay? That's what we want to be, because we believe that when we get together, God wants to meet us. You can turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2, or flip your phone, whatever it is you do. But if you're on your phone, make sure you go to your Bible app and not Facebook or something, okay? You know, many of us had high school experiences where there were certainly some classes that you thought were an absolute waste of time. Say, why? The only reason I'm going to this class is because I absolutely have to. Some of you may have looked at your whole high school experience that way, actually. But again, the reason why, you just didn't see value. It's like, what's the point? I feel that my teacher is not inspiring, and I don't see how this has any relevancy in my life. And sadly, there are many Christians that look at the church that way. Like, I don't see, they know they should be there, just like you knew you should go to school. They know they should be in church, but there's no inspiration. They're not seeing or feeling a value in going there. Can I just tell you, we never want to be that place. Amen? We never want to be that place. Listen, we believe that when we gather like this, God longs to come and make himself known. We gather before the King of the universe who is alive, right? He's alive, amen? He's alive, and he has set you free from sin. Think about the sin you used to be in. Think about the sin you were in this week, right? He set you free from shame, where you don't live in shame anymore. Is that good news? He set you free from regret, where we don't live in regrets. We don't live in the past, amen? And he wants to speak to us. So when we come together, we anticipate God moving all the time. And we're willing to take those risks. That's where God wants us to be. So we come together, we expect God to meet us. And it's not like we have to beg him. He wants to speak. And today, like he was speaking about his faithfulness. You can trust him. Some of you have been believing God for some things for a long time. You've been believing for restoration of relationships in families for a long time. God is trustworthy. You can trust him. And those were the words that came through with that prophetic song that Mackenzie had as she was singing up here. Right? Again, he's faithful. He's faithful through the ages. He'll be faithful for generations. Is that good news? Amen. Amen. Let's pray right now. Father, we come before you. And God, we ask, Lord, for your Spirit even to renew us now. Refresh and renew. God, those who need it in this moment in time, refresh and renew. Father God, we invite you in. We don't have to beg you. You want to be here. Holy Spirit, come. come in this moment in time. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Look at somebody, tell them you're glad they're here. Glad you're here. All right, we're just practicing connecting. Hey, last Sunday, the entire church got together out in North Braddock, and we were celebrating 40 years. We're celebrating 40 years as a church family. And again, it was a compelling moment in the spirit. Because again, every time we get together, it should be compelling. Every time we get together, there should be something happening that compels us to go forward. All right, I believe that's already happened in our context today. But last week was one of those moments as we look back. I believe it compels us to look forward. And at the end, we prayed. We prayed that God would launch us into the next 40 years, into the next 40, that we're going to continue to see people and generations touched. So we look back for inspiration that we could look forward with motivation. And we're going to read here just 2 Timothy 2. This is the scripture that our founding pastor started the church with. This is what was on his heart. And this is Paul speaking to Timothy. And he told Timothy, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. And this, again, this was the founding scripture of the church. That Pastor Keith, when he began this grand experiment in 1982 as a 26-year-old, freshly married, freshly out of Bible school. As he started the church, this is the scripture that was on his heart, that this, what he received had to be shared. It had to be shared. Again, he says, well, the things you've heard, you have to trust other people with, right? You have to give them, you have to empower them, give them authority and encourage them to go and trust and teach other people. The church started with seven people. And as some of you have heard, it was in a dingy funeral home. I showed up the third week of its existence. I was invited by a mutual friend. The next week, I took my wife. A couple weeks later, I got my brother Rick there, who's now Pastor Rick, who leads the whole church. All right? And so we were here from the beginning. We are charter members of Bridge City Church. And a couple months in, we did a charter membership, and I can't remember. There were a couple dozen people there, just a couple dozen as we began. And what happened then as we went forward, what's interesting, what's intriguing, is out of those 20, 30 people, there were 4 full-time ministries raised up out of that small amount of people. And Donna and I are part of the fruit of that. And listen, I can say confidently that for all 4 of us, all 4 couples, none of us would have went into ministry the way we did if we were not in a church that had this vision right here. None of us. Would we have ever done this? No, okay, amen. All right, that's right, we wouldn't have done it. We wouldn't even have conceived of doing this, of starting a church like we did. We wouldn't have, and I know the other 3 couples would have never perceived that they would be in full-time ministry, in pastoral ministry, unless we were in this vision, a vision with people speaking to you and saying, you know what, there's something in you. There's something inside of you. God can use you. You know what, you can be used to share what's inside of you to encourage other people. You know what, you can pray for people. You know what, I think I'll trust you with a microphone, right? But we had to be in that environment where someone believed that God actually would do this. It didn't have to be somebody from Bible school. None of us went to Bible school. None of us. Right? Now you don't think, I'm not saying the Bible school is bad. I think it'd be great to go to Bible school for 2 years and study the Bible. Wouldn't that be kind of cool, right? But the point is, we were in a vision that said, yes, you can. You can grow. If you're willing to grow, you can go forward. And so again, we were in that environment. We grew in our faith. And the Bridge City Church family, listen, this will be a place where you're going to be pushed to grow. We're going to push you to grow, right? And I try to live that. I try to live that. Some of you love it. Some of you left, right? So, okay. But that's what we do. Listen, because you are called to grow, okay? Listen. Living things grow. If you're alive, You need to be growing. And also, growing things live. Because if you stop growing, you're starting the death process. Right? So you're going to be pushed. If this environment, you are going to be pushed. I don't care what you want to call it holy harassment. I think that's a spiritual handle, okay? But we are going to push you that you are not going to stay where you are. Why? Because there are gifts and callings inside of every one of you. Every one of you. They said, out of that couple dozen people, there were 8 called into full-time ministry, 4 couples. So again, Keith said this last week. If there was that much gifting in that small group, how much gifting is in this room? What types of callings, what type of gifting is inside of this room right now that can change your world and build the kingdom of God, right? What's in here? What firepower in the Holy Ghost is in here? If we're willing. The thing is, it's way beyond me. It's way beyond me. There's so much. God wants us to catch this. So again, why is it important that you grow? What's growth look like? What's it supposed to be? Yes, so we're going to push you. We're pushing you that you're going to know what this book says. Okay, you need to know what the book says. We're going to push you that you attend. We're going to push you to be part of a small group. We're going to push you to serve the family in some way. We're going to push you to learn to hear the voice of God. To hear the voice of God. Because God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak. He wants you to be able to hear his voice and discern. Right? That's what Jesus said. Jesus spoke those very things. He said, his own, hear his voice. Okay? I want to hear his voice. I want to know what he's speaking. We want that to happen. See, when you were saved, you received salvation, but not just salvation. You also received adoption, and you got a commission. You got commissioned by God. You know, we were saved. We're free from sin, shame, and regret. Thank God. Amen. We celebrate that every single day of our lives. But you're adopted. You're adopted. You're no longer just the person with that name on the birth certificate. You're a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Everything is new. Everything is new. Everything in your life. You're a brand new creation, a new identity. But you've also been commissioned. You're commissioned to represent him. And not just are you commissioned, you're empowered. There is a supernatural empowerment we all have to represent Jesus Christ. Right? And we never want to lose that. This is not an intellectual endeavor. This is a spiritual endeavor. And God empowers us to be able to speak life and bring life to other people. Okay, and that doesn't just happen. You have to choose to grow. You have to choose to grow. One thing Pastor Keith said last week, he'd said several different lines. If those of you have heard him preach before, he like drops gold nuggets, like breadcrumbs behind him, right? But one of the things he said, you know, you can't just show up, you have to grow up. And too often people think that showing up to church on Sunday is like some great act of honoring God. Okay, now you have to show up, but you have to grow up. It's not just showing up. We got to grow. We have to grow. There is a call of God for us to grow. I mean, the church, church just simply means the called out ones by God. We're called to carry this mission. We're called to grow up in him. We exist that as many people as possible would begin a relationship with God and become fully devoted followers of Jesus, to become disciples of his. That's what we're about. We're committed to this. Okay, and so we've done... We are going to continue to do all that we can, that we're going to gather, grow, give, and go, all for the glory of God. Right? That's what we do. Gather, grow, give, and go, all for the glory of God. So when we have a week like last week, I know for Dawn and I, it reminds us, it stirs us into faith. It stirs us into faith. And maybe it renews us in faith, because, I start looking around the room again, and I see gifting. I see gifting. I see calling as I look around the room. There are things that you are called to do. And we want to have more and more of those conversations. Like Doug, you're a gatherer of men. You're called to gather men. Okay, that's in you. That's in you. Okay, but you gotta continue to grow into that, not thinking your time has passed you by. That hasn't happened. Anthony, there's a call in you to teach. You're to teach men. You're to lead small groups at least, okay? And as you and Kelsey get married, there's going to be more things. But you've got to see it, and you got to grow into that thing. You have to grow into it and see that happen. for Jared and Katrina. God, listen, there is a call on your lives. There's a call on your lives. You're going to minister to many people in your lives. Again, but you have to grow into that. There's something ahead. But it's in there. It's in there. Katrina's going to be leading kids ministry stuff. I mean, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. She's going to replace Jess someday, right? That's going to happen. Jess is going to go somewhere else. See, but I can look around the room, and I can see these things. I can see this. I can see these things. Heather, I mean, there you have a call of God on your life to minister to women. You're going to minister hope and life. People are going to hear your story, and he's anointed you to do that. This is what is in the room. These things are here. These things are here. And I can go on and on, right? But see, you have to grow into that. It doesn't just happen. You have to seize that thing. It won't just happen. Say, it won't just happen. You've got to grow into that. You've got to grow, right? So I want to promise you that we're going to push you to do that, right? Why? Because we want to see you reach your full potential in God. Amen? That's what this is about, seeing you reach your full potential and live life in a large way, a fulfilling way. And that we'll talk about that in a little bit. What we're going to focus on here today is a little bit out of the book of Ephesians. And of course, Timothy is our byline scripture, but if I look at Ephesians, was written a few years before Timothy, right? And certainly Timothy would have known the things Paul was sharing that he wrote to the new Christians in the city of Ephesus. So first, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to look at the 19th verse. Ephesians chapter 2. So it says, So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You're citizens along with all of God's holy people. You're members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Again, this is profound, because really the book of Ephesians is all about the church. It's about the church of Jesus Christ. It's about the way we're to be unified. And this was an important scripture, because he's telling the Gentiles. Gentiles is anybody that wasn't a Jew, all right? And the gospel was revealed first. Jesus came first to the Jewish people. So this was a big deal, because the Jews would not talk to Gentiles before this, if you remember, all right? And he's saying, look, you Gentiles, you're no longer strangers and foreigners. We're all in this together. It was a big deal. And see, what we can catch out of that is we're all in this together. We're all in this together. Some of us are more broken than others. Right? Some of us have more money than others, more education than others. Some of us have softer personalities than others. We have extroverts, introverts. We have people all over the spectrum. Right? None of these things matter. None of these things matter. We are now one family. One family. One family. I mean, and this is now all your family. This is your crazy brothers and sisters. If you call Bridge City home, okay, you can look around and look at this eccentric, eclectic group of people, okay? And you can say, I'm related to them, okay? Go ahead, look around. I'm related to them. Yeah. I'm related. Listen, this is reality. This is reality. We are now one family. And again, now look at what it speaks here. It says together, verse 20, we're built. This house is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Who's the cornerstone? Jesus Christ. But what's the result? We're carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple. So you cannot be a holy temple to God by yourself. You have to do it with imperfect people. Imperfect people, right? Our lives are filled with imperfect people, right? You live with an imperfect person, and I'm not talking about your spouse, I'm talking about you, okay? We're imperfect people. Right, but he says, listen, as we go together on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, we become a holy temple. When there is a holy temple, God can come and bless that temple, right? But you have to be willing to grow into that temple. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, and again, talk about more. That's how we gather, right? We gather all together. Let's talk a little bit about how we grow now. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 11. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church and body of Christ. When you see this apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, you'll hear in Christian circles that's called the fivefold ministry gifts. fivefold ministry gifts. It just simply means there's five, okay, fivefold ministry gifts. That's what they are. And they still function today. They still function in the family of God today. They didn't run out, all right? And so we have these here. I don't want to take a lot of time on that. But I want to focus on, though, is why do we have these gifts? You certainly recognize the gift of a pastor, all right? Why do we have these gifts? What's the role? Well, the role is to equip you. The role is to equip you, all right? To get, what's equip mean? Making fit, preparing, training, recovering wholeness, making fully qualified, okay, like setting a bone in surgery, okay, where I'm, my role is to help you be equipped to go forward in God. That's why my role is to grow you and to push you, okay, that's, see, my role is not to do everything, my role is to get you to do everything, okay. Right? Some of you already excel in that role, getting other people to do everything. Never mind. Okay, listen, but catch this, though. See, this is my role is to equip you, not just to give you good teachings that you go home and say, oh, that was entertaining. The point is to equip you for a purpose, to equip you for something bigger. All right? That's my job. And so if you call me pastor, if you say, I'm your pastor, that my role, you're giving me permission to kind of file you down, maybe cause some friction in your life, right? Cause some friction and maybe rub you a bit the wrong way, training you, pushing you to do things you don't want to do, that you could become what you want to become, right? That's my role. That's the role of the ministers in your house. You know, again, and it's the way, again, God makes us whole. You know, again, that's the role. We help set you in the right place to get you in proper alignment in your life and in your body and whatnot. You know, I'm in a place now where I have issues with my body. I have fingers that are bad. I have knees that don't operate. They don't align the way they used to align. You know, I have these types of issues. Okay, but listen, if you hurt your finger, if you hurt your finger, you've got to align with the body. You know, it's at times, see, people get hurt. They're hurting. You have somebody hurt you, and you're, you know, let's just say your finger got hurt. And you're saying, well, people hurt me, so I'm going straight to God. I'm going straight to the head. Well, this kind of body would look kind of foolish, right? The finger has to relate to the parts around it. See, we are called to align with the family of God. And you got, again, if you've been hurt by people, typically God's going to use people to bring healing. Right? You have to align. There is an alignment. So if my role is to get you properly aligned in the family of God and to push you in these things. How do we do that? One of the ways we do that is connection group. Right? We have connection groups. We have small groups where we get together. And it is more personal. And you can get as much push as you want in that meeting. Okay, how much push do you want? You can get it. Right? 'Cause that's what we get together for. We want to help people go forward in God, take another step in God. Right? They're happening right now. Get the connection point. Be part of that. Again, because if you're going to go forward, if you're going to grow, you have to get yourself in an alignment, an aligned place to be able to grow. Connection group is how we do that. And again, so how another way we get into alignment is Victory and Freedom Weekend. Victory and Freedom Weekends is a place, a full day where you get away and you have opportunity to focus on who God really is and gain freedom from your past that you can have victory in your future, right? Because so many of us are dogged by things that have happened in the past and we can't walk in the fullness of victory in our lives. Well, one of the ways we want to help people go forward is to avail themselves to this type of ministry. That comes up in October. You have to get the connection point. If you want to grow, see, for you to walk in your fullness in God, you have to have wholeness. This is a way to help you become whole in God that you can go forward. You know, and again, it takes time. It takes effort. We also have Next Steps. Next Steps is next week. Next Steps is something that happens every month here, the first and second week, where we talk about what's it mean to be an active and growing part of the Bridge City family. All right, and for some of us, that's what we need to do. If you're serious, you want to grow, you want to get in proper alignment with the body, right? Well, this is how you do it. Get into Next Steps. Make yourself go. See, here's the thing about growth. Quite often, growth has pain involved in it, right? It has effort involved. If you're going to grow intellectually, you do have to read the book, right? You may have to take a test, right? If you want to grow in your job, you may have to learn new skills. This is real. If you want to get healthy physically, you're going to have to inflict some discipline upon your body. You're going to have to eat in a different way. You're going to have to exercise in ways that may even cause pain, right? See, but there's growing pains that are necessary. And one of the things that, you know, just in our culture is we avoid pain at all costs, right? You will not grow without some pain. You will not grow in God and get in proper alignment if you don't have the pain of giving up your schedule and putting yourself in position to align right with other people, right? God has to own that schedule. These are necessary things. You want to grow? That's why we're so big on these things of groups and being part of teams. Right? Groups and teams is how we grow and how we relate. That's one of the ways we get initiated into the family. You get into proper alignment. Okay? You can't grow. But if you can't grow, if you're not going to put yourself in these positions, and that growth typically means you being uncomfortable to some degree. Okay? None of us necessarily enjoy being uncomfortable. If you do, we have people that will pray for you right after service. Okay, let's look at verse 14. It says, I'm sorry, verse 13, I'm getting ahead. It says, this will continue, this equipping of the saints will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we'll be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Okay, it says, so in other words, the work's going to continue. We're going to keep equipping one another until we come to the same unity of faith. Unity of faith in its most base form is speaking of doctrine. We believe the right things. Right? We believe the right thing. We know what the scripture says. Okay, we have a unity in doctrine. We believe this. And what I like too is the way Paul says, he says, and knowledge of God's Son. And then we're going to be mature. The knowledge of God's Son. You have to have true knowledge of God's Son. I don't know about you, but I went years in my life believing in who Jesus was, but not having true knowledge of who he was. I believed in God, but I didn't follow God. Right? How many can relate to that? I knew about him way before what I knew what it meant to follow him. That's true knowledge. Okay? And he's saying you gotta have real knowledge of God. So we got to get the right doctrine, and if we really understand who Jesus is, then we will begin to mature. We're going to grow up. Verse 14. Then what? We'll no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We'll not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like truth. You know, there's a lot of lies in culture right now about what truth is, right? See, but if we know the Word of God, if we have the right doctrine, if we understand what the Word says, you're not going to be confused when the culture says what's wrong. What's wrong with two people loving one another of the same sex? You're going to have an answer to that. Why? Because you're going to have unity of doctrine. You know what the doctrine says. You know what Jesus says. You're not going to be confused by those questions. Make sense? See, catch that. Okay, so we're going to grow up as we know the Word of God, and as we have true knowledge of Jesus Christ, we're going to grow. We're going to mature together in these moments of time. Just want to jump back there just to verse 13 for a moment, where it talks about unity, just this unity part. You know, because you think about it, there's so many ways you can think about unity. Because like, we're to be unified. That doesn't mean we think the same. Right? Does not mean we think the same. Doesn't mean we never disagree. If you're with somebody you never disagree with, one of you's lying. Okay, so he said, so there's always this disagreement. So unity does not mean that you always agree. That's not what it's speaking. But unity happens when we lose ourselves into the greater whole. Like I'm living for something bigger. I liken it to, you know, hey, who likes chocolate chip cookies? Okay, all right, thank you, man. I didn't even say he had the gift of a servant, but I look at that. Okay, he's a servant. Okay, you like chocolate chip cookies? You know, chocolate chips are really good by themselves, but I like them a lot more when they're mixed together with everything else. All right, and actually, so you know, the thing is, the chips they do have an appeal. They do have an appeal on their own. Flour really doesn't have any appeal on its own. It needs something else with it, right? So some of you may have a little bit of appeal on your own, but you're way better mixed with others. Some of you may have no appeal whatsoever on your own, all right? But when we mix you with some chocolate chips and sugar, man, you're great, right? Unity is losing yourself in the whole. It's no longer me. It's us. It's us. We are walking together, a holy temple. We're fit together that God's Spirit can come and dwell and move through us. But it happens when we're in unity, when we're doing this thing together. You know, when we give ourselves to help equip others, working in the ministry of Jesus, you think about this. See, when you do that, you're never ruled by what you don't have. I'm ruled by what I do have, which is Jesus Christ, right? Crucified and raised from the dead, living victoriously. When I'm giving myself for others, that's where I live. I live in that place, in that reality. Let's go to verse 15. Paul says, instead, we will speak. This is what the result is if we are going to mature and we're unified. If we're unified in doctrine and we're unified in true knowledge, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This is the maturing family of God. That's what we want to be. That's what we long to be, okay? And it's so good too, again, because it says a healthy body will speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Now, that when there is a problem, when there is a need to speak the truth in love, again, is when somebody has done something wrong, right? We speak the truth in love. I have to speak the truth in love when someone is not following what God says to do. Which shows, again, unity. In unity, we're not perfect. I need somebody to speak the truth in love to me, all right? You need someone to speak the truth in love to you. You know, we talk about, again, who's your person that can tell you the last 10% that nobody else can, right? You need somebody that can speak the truth in love, or else you're not growing and you're not going to mature. You need to allow somebody to have that. I said, we're going to speak this truth in love, and we're going to grow in every way more and more like Jesus Christ. That's what's going to happen. We're going to, again, living things grow. That's what we spoke about. And we're not going to stop growing. We're going to become more and more like him. And again, look how it says here, the whole body is fitting together. Fitting together. All right? Each part makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Okay? Each part does its own special work. Everybody in this room has a part to play. Everyone has a part to play. Everyone. You should be able to identify what is your part. You should be able to look at, you should be able to, that should just fall out of you. This is how I help support the body. This is how I make it happen. This is what I'm doing to make it grow. It helps the other parts grow. What are you doing to help the family of God grow? That's a question you need to ask yourself. What am I doing? See, because again, showing up doesn't mean much. We need you to grow up. What are you doing to help the family of God grow? Because this isn't to make you feel bad. Well, I want you to feel bad for a minute, okay? But this doesn't make you feel bad. This is to spur you, like, wait, there's more. There's more. There's more. There's more. There's fulfillment for me if I trust him and I go forward and I'm willing to submit myself and grow. Because okay? Again, you should be able to identify, what am I doing to help the family grow? And again, and there's all kind of ways this happened. I mean, the people, the guys, the men ushering today, they're helping the family grow. They're making, you're protected, all right? You're protected. You don't have to worry about things because they're here, right? There's people doing these things. All right, but this means everything from making a meal, all right, to prophesying on a Sunday morning and everything in between. Okay, what are you doing to help the family of God grow? Are you available? All right, are you there? What are you doing? Because if you're not fitting anywhere, you're not helping mature the body, and you're not as healthy as you think, right? This is another reason we always say, like, when you get into a small group, it's so good because you have opportunity to speak life into other people. See, we're all called to help other people grow. It's hard to do that in a large group, but we get you in a room, you get in a room with 10 or 12 people, and you come with a heart saying, I have something to give, right? you have a real strong dynamic of people coming together, looking to grow one another up. Man, so God, this is the only way, and again, this is the only way the family can be mature and whole. But the more we get together and we're pushing ourselves forward. You know? So again, this is what a healthy church family would look like. You know, and it's important that we catch this, because I always think about things in terms of return on investment, you know, ROI is the hip term, you know, because I'm asking you to give of your life, give your life for the purposes of God. What is the return on investment? What will happen if you do that? Where's the value? Where's the value in this whole thing? You know, because again, this is what will happen. Listen, let's explain this just for a moment. You'll be part of something where lives are being transformed by God on a continual basis. You'll be part of something where lives are transformed by God on a continual basis. Here's the thing, in our context in the Bridge City family, we do see lives transform, but it's more something we experience. We don't live there. I want to see it happening on a continual basis. I want to see people being set free. I want to see people asking Jesus to forgive their past and make him the leader of their future. I want to see it all the time. All the time. Anybody else want to see that all the time? All the time. I want to see people making that commitment. Right? I want to see people set free from the things that have bound them up inside. I want to see people set free from hurts, habits, and hang-ups. I want to see people who find freedom in God, where they find out how large they could really live under Jesus. That you're set free from the past. And we want to be part of that. We are people who want to see that happen. We want to be people who are becoming bold. Bold in doing the right thing. Bold in doing what's right. Bold in what you believe. Excited to share your faith. Excited to share your possessions. Excited to give up your calendar for the purposes of God. Because you want to be part of something greater. Listen, I want to see lives continually transformed. That will not happen if we are not willing to grow, But we can live in that environment. See, we don't have to ask God, oh God, would you just come and be with us? God wants to be here. He wants to be here. What he's looking for is a people who can handle it. A people who are open to allowing him to do that. See, because what we struggle with is a selfishness that I want to give God certain parts, but not everything. Right? If we trust him, surrender to him, know who he truly is, he will make us a place where lives are being transformed on a continual basis. Tell me, how good would that be? How good would that be? To come in all the time and there's testimonies of God setting people free. Setting people free. I don't want to experience those things. I want to live in that environment. I want to live there. That's where I want to be. And I want you to know that even as we speak of these things, in this room are all these gifts. There's people in here that are gifted in helping people find freedom from their past and hope in their future. And there's more people that you have that gift, but you haven't stepped out in it yet. Right? We have people here that are gifted in sharing their faith and sharing their hope in an exciting, joyful way. Right? And there's others, man, that's in you, but you've got to take that risk. We have people here that God wants to use to speak in prophetic spiritual ways, but you have to take the step. Here's the question. Will you commit to growing? Will you commit to growth? Will you commit to your own spiritual growth? Will you commit to align and do the next thing for you to go forward in God, to help your, not only just help yourself, help the family of God grow. The family of God will grow where we can be a house where transformation is something that happens all the time, all the time. Can you see the value? See, you gotta see the value. There's a return on investment here. It's worth it. Yes, we're saying God just wants your whole life, all right? But he said, I will show you the life that I've had for you all along, but you got to give it to me. If you're committed to growth and you're saying, I want to take that next step in my life, just stand up. We want to pray for you. Just stand up where you are. We want to take that step. We want to go forward. Because it means different things to different people here. Some of you, it is as simple as, I need to pick up my Bible, right? But you need somebody to hold you accountable to that, right? Some of you, it's, I got to get into a small group. I'm trying to do it on my own. Some of you, it's, I got to get into next steps. I got to find out what it means to be an active and growing part, because I keep trying to do this by my own plan, right? But we're saying we're committed to growth. We're committed. God, but you have to make a choice to start making that happen. Let's come before him right now. Father, we come before you. And God, you know the hearts. You're not impressed because we stand. You're impressed with hearts that bow down. And right now, it's up to you to make that choice. You tell God. You can do it silently. You can do it out loud. But God, I'm committed. God, I commit myself to you. God, I trust you. God, I commit myself to be on a growth path. Not just to show up. I don't just want to show up. I want to grow up. Some of us, God, I know I need to connect with people. Some of us, God, I know I need to read. Some of us, I know I need to be bold with my faith. Some of us are saying, I need it all. I commit, God. I commit, Lord. I'm going to grow. And right now, if you don't know what that step is, you need to come and see us. You need to come and see us even after the service. Get in contact. Go to Connection Point. What's it? Okay, if you don't know what your next step is, you should be able to answer, this is what I need to do. You can't do it alone. It takes other people. Holy Spirit, thank you for conviction. Thank you for hope. Thank you for this glorious future we have in seeing lives transformed by the glory of God. And again, before we end, if you're here today and you don't know what true knowledge of Jesus is, or you used to know what it was, you used to follow him, but you've fallen away, and you're not in the right place, but you're saying, man, I need to get back. I know the promises are real. Or you've never known what those promises are. We're going to give you this opportunity right now to recommit. Give you this opportunity to commit for the first time. That you can get right with the Father. That Jesus loves so much that he says, I will reach out. I will touch you. I will bring you back. I will restore what was broken. If there's anyone in here right now, just raise your hand that we can pray with you and stand with you. Amen. 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 We see those hands. We see those hands. Amen. Someone will be by to pray with you guys as we conclude. And Father God, we pray for these guys that have raised their hands, God, because they're being honest and open, saying, I got to get back. I got to get back to where I'm supposed to be. Jesus is the one who has the answer. And ask Father God, even now, touch them. Touch them by your Spirit. Touch them by your Spirit, God. There's an encouragement that happens inside of them right now. And Father God, we pray also, Lord, out of Psalm chapter 2, verse 8, God, that you give us the nations as an inheritance. Father, we pray, God, that you would grant us the opportunity to minister to more lost people. Anybody say amen to that? God, we want to minister to more lost people. Father God, make us aware of the people around us. God, make us aware of just inviting them into this environment. God, give us the nations. Give us the lost and hurting. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Give the Lord a hand. You can be seated. And again, just want to encourage you. I said encourage you. There'll be somebody around to pray with you guys. I want to encourage you, though, again, you take the next step. If you don't know what your next step is for growth, come and see us, okay, that we can help you out. We want to